We're going to share a little bit about two benefits, and we shared a little bit about the benefit earlier this morning, and I'm going to hit that one first, and then I want to get into the next benefit, because these benefits are very key in the benefits that God wants to give to us overall. We talk about healing, we talk about blessing, we talk about God ministering to our needs and finding us where we're at. These are key to entering into that place of blessing that God wants to bless us with. And we're going to talk a few moments. The first one that I want to talk about, it has to do with Easter. In fact, both of them have to do with Easter. Because Jesus died on the cross and he rose again. He rose again to give us life. If you will, please turn into the scriptures. We want to go to, the book of John, the 11th chapter. And in the book of John, the 11th chapter, Jesus is with his disciples, and he tells them about Lazarus, and that Lazarus is sleeping, and the disciple says, well, it's good that he sleeps, because then he'll get better. So apparently he was having physical problems, physical issues, and he said, well, good, it's good that he sleeps. And then Jesus comes out and tells them openly and plainly, he's dead. So as soon as that happens, he begins to he tells them he's dead, and now he's going to be going to be with Mary and Martha, and where Lazarus has been buried. And as he's going, it says in verse 17 of the 11th chapter, it says, so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days, talking about Lazarus. He'd already died. He'd already been in there for 4 days. He says, now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. And then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. At this point, Mary and Martha, they are despondent, they are depressed, they have just lost their brother, they've encountered death. Has anybody in here ever encountered death? Have you encountered death? I don't know about you, but I've encountered death. Both my parents passed away when I was younger. When I was 8 years old, my mom died of a heart attack. My father died of an accidental gunshot wound when I was 13 years old and passed away. And so I was kind of an orphan at a young age and sort of lived on my own. My stepmother that we ended up living with, she was a nurse and she worked in a hospital on second shift for most of my life. From the age I was 13 to the age I was 18, I was pretty much on my own, because I would come home from school and I would just do whatever I wanted to do, and do whatever I felt like doing. I had a sister who was 10 years old. I was 8 years old at the time my mother died, and I was 13 when my father died, and my sister had already left the house, who was watching us from the age of my 8-year-old birthday till the age I was 13, my 10-year-old sister, when I was 8, was watching us and taking care of us. Now, when I ended up at 13, and my sister had already moved out of the house, so it was kind of like me and my little sister, and we sort of held the house down while she was off at the hospital, and she didn't get home till like 11 o'clock, so I was pretty much on my own. And there were two things that I encountered. One of them was death. And the other one was a severe case of loneliness. Because even though I had friends, a lot of times throughout the day, I didn't have a whole lot of friends at my house. And my little sister, many times I would end up taking care of her, and watching over her, and playing, we'd play games until my stepmother came home. And that was sort of where my life was for a long time. So I encountered those two things. The first one was death, the second thing was loneliness. Because I was by myself. You ever felt like you were by yourself? Jesus came to change all that. When he was riding in Jerusalem, we talked about that last week. We were talking about Palm Sunday when Jesus was riding in Jerusalem. That was, there was a purpose. He was headed for a purpose, and that was to go to the cross. And once he had died on the cross, he rose again. And once he rose again, he came that he might provide that same thing. The first thing being life, which he wants to give to us. And the second thing being a presence. God's presence. So let's just read that a little bit. He goes on, he says this. Now Bethany was near, we go to verse 21. Now Martha said to Jesus when she came, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. If you would have just come here, my brother wouldn't have died. Where were you? They encounter this thing called death. And it's horrific. So much so that they pressed the Lord when he comes. Lord, where were you, Lord? Where were you?
If you'd have been here, our brother wouldn't have died. Where were you? Then she goes, but even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give it you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Everyone say, rise again. Rise again. Your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know. And see, this is the disconnect when we think of resurrection and we think of life. This is the disconnect because what we think of, we've got this idea in our mind that, yeah, we know that someday we're going to get to go to heaven. We understand that part. We know that there's a resurrection. Everyone say, yes, there's going to be a resurrection. We know that part. But see, what the God wants us to know is that resurrection is today. It's not someday off in, it's not somewhere over the rainbow. It happens today. Resurrection is today. The life is today. It's given to us today. I will live forever. I don't have to wait someday to be able to live forever. I live forever because resurrection has been given to me today. In fact, it was given to me when I received Jesus Christ into my heart when I was 21 years old. And I received Christ all that ancient time ago when I was 21, you know, like last week when I turned 21. All that time ago, when I received Christ, I entered into what he paid for over 2,000 years ago. And I entered into the life today. And today, I'm in resurrection mode. I am in the resurrection power. Now, this body is going to be laying down. I understand that. The body will lay down, of course. But you know what? It's going to be one of those transitions like it's, you know, walking through the door. Yes, my body will lay down, but at that very moment, I will be able to see him in the clouds, and I will be able to put on that new body. And so, really, I'm just changing shells. And the shell that I am getting rid of, good riddance. Good riddance, okay? Because has anybody ever been on a diet? Good riddance for a new shell, all right? Because we won't have to worry about that anymore. We're going to be given a new body. But we live in resurrection mode today. And see, Jesus tries to get that through to Martha. Martha says, yeah, we know that it's going to happen. But he says, no, you're not getting it. It's today. He's going to rise again today. And so he goes on. He says, she says, yeah, we know that he's going to rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to him, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Say that, never die. He who believes in me shall never die. There is no death for the person in Christ. And that's what we need to believe and we need to hold on to and trust in. Because when you have that idea that resurrection isn't for someday, yes, there's going to be a resurrection of all of us at some point. But we've actually entered into the eternity of resurrection today. And when we live with that and understand that, it makes things a whole lot more bearable, doesn't it? It makes things a whole lot more real. See, I don't have to worry about what man may do to me. It doesn't matter what man may do to me. It doesn't matter what anyone may do to me. I have resurrection power today. I'm already a child of the King. I'm already someone who's been granted eternity through his spirit, through his power. So that life is in me today. And now, I asked you the question, had any of you ever experienced death? A lot of us older folk, we've experienced it, okay? We've experienced it because a lot of us are getting to that age, I'm getting to that age, where we're seeing friends that are dying of natural causes, quote-unquote natural causes. We're seeing some of our friends going to be with the Lord a little bit sooner. For a younger person, it's not as common. Now, they do see death, of course, but it's not as common. But it happens. And when you see it, it's absolutely devastating. One of the things that that just happened to us recently is we saw the effects of the curse take place on we have a little doggy we've come to know as Riley, and we had this little doggy for a couple years. We end up getting another bigger doggy, not quite so little. This little doggy was like a little Shih Tzu, I don't know what mix, and so she was about this big. And we have another bigger dog. That one is named Riley. We have another bigger doggy. She's a golden doodle, golden doodle, and she's much bigger. And but she's just a puppy, but she's about 40 pounds. She's a 40-pound puppy, so she's a big one. And then we've got this little one. Well, the other night I'd let them out into the backyard and for a little bit, and I didn't hear back from them. And so I went, because usually they'll come back to the door and bang on the door saying, "Hey, all right, we did our business. Time to let us in." Okay, we went back in. And so I went to the back door to let them in, and Charlie, the bigger dog, came in. Okay, she came in, and she was by herself, and I'm looking around, well, where's Riley? Because Riley is usually the first one to come in, and if Charlie is the first one, Riley's right on her tail. Riley will follow her wherever she goes. And so we looked out, and I went out into the backyard, and we didn't find Riley at all. And I came in, woke up my wife, said, "Listen, hon, I don't know where Riley is. Is she with you?" "No, not with me." And I said, "Well, get up. I need your help." And so we went, and she went in the backyard and looked, there was a little opening in the gate, but Riley doesn't go out of the even if the gate was wide open, she wouldn't have gone out. She doesn't go out by herself. She hangs right there by the door. And so we went went out there, and she wasn't there. We went out front, or I went out front, and I found out that she was, I don't know what happened to her, but she was in the road, and she was dead. And so I walked over to her, and it was kind of heartbreaking to us. I walked over to her, and I could see death all over her. And I picked her up, and I don't know if you've ever done that with someone, where you pick them up and lift them up, and you can see the life is gone. She wasn't there anymore. I picked her up, and I saw the death. It made me a little bit angry, a little bit frustrated, a little bit saddened. Hurt. We loved Riley. She was a great dog. As we brought her in, I could just tell. I went and took her to the back. I said, "Heidi, we need to get something to cover up." And she got us a pillowcase so that we could put her in the pillowcase and sort of make her comfortable. She's dead, so we didn't know how to do that. I set her in the back, and my son went out and mourned. We experience this thing called death. Now, that's a little thing, because you know what? A lot of us will experience that thing called death of loved ones, of family, of people, and it's just absolutely crushing. And see, Jesus knew that it would be crushing, and that's one of the reasons why he came, because he came to give life so that we wouldn't have to worry about death anymore. Death would never be a thing that we would ever have to be sad about again. When I left Riley out there, the next day I got her and put her in my truck. I was going to take her to the vet and have the vet dispose of her, and I just felt, no, we're going to put her in our backyard with our other pets. And so I ended up putting her in the backyard and having her there. And what we had experienced is what it is all the effect of sin that came into this planet. It's the effect of sin. And we were mourning because of the hurt that we had felt because of the effect of sin. The thing about it is that's not the way it was ever supposed to be. It wasn't supposed to be that way. We weren't supposed to experience that. And Jesus loved us so much that because he didn't want us to have to experience that anymore, and some of you have experienced even worse than that, far worse than that, You've experienced that death. Jesus didn't want us to have to experience that. So what did he do? He came to this planet to, first of all, give us one of the big benefits that we needed, and that is life, that we would live forever, that we would never have to experience that again. Are you glad that you've got that? Now, I don't know if dogs are going to be in heaven. I don't know if dogs are going to be in heaven. But if I need to see my dog in heaven, my dog will be there. All right, because there will not be anything that I'm missing when I get into his kingdom. Everything that I need is going to be there. And if I feel like I need my dog when I get there, my dog will be there. My dogs will be there. Now, I don't know if when I get to be there, you know, I'll need that. But I remember having somebody said, you know what, who had lost their dog. Pastor, is my dog going to be in heaven? Do you feel like you need that dog in heaven? I love my dog. I want my dog in heaven. Then he'll be there. He'll be there. Because you will lack for nothing when you get there. That's the life that he gives. He goes on. He says, I am the resurrection, I am the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And he says to her, and confronts her with it, and says, do you believe this? And I'm going to confront with you tonight. Do you believe this? Does everyone believe this? That you will never die? This is what he confronted her with. She said, yes, Lord. I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Jesus didn't make a differentiation between this life and the life he's provided for the believer. That you enter into it when you receive him. Now, yes, there's going to come a day when we will see the culmination of what we've entered into. Because some of us don't realize what we've entered into. Yeah, he's going to give that to us. So we have hope. This is an exciting day that we can remember what God has provided. Now, that's the first thing that God's provided us. It's life on when he rose from the dead. But he didn't just provide that. He also provided us with the opportunity to be in deep fellowship with him, to gather together with him and fellowship in his presence. Because healing is not a matter of turning on a switch. Blessing is not a matter of turning on a switch. What it is, it's a matter of being in the very presence of God. The woman who had an issue of blood, she went through the crowd and tried to fight her way through the crowd. It wasn't the fact necessarily she was hitting a certain switch to be healed. What it was she fought her way through the crowd and was able to come and touch the very hem of his garments, the very hem of the Lord's garments. And when you touch God, when you're in the very presence of God, when we worship, that's one of the reasons we put so much emphasis on worship, is because when you're in the presence of God, that's where healing takes place. It's as you come into his presence. Sense his anointing and power. She touched the very hem of his garment, and the anointing left him and went into her, and she was immediately healed. He gives the promise that we will be in his very presence. Not only are we going to be alive, not only do we have eternal life with him. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. I see our time is kind of slipping away, but I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you really love the Old Testament? You got a couple who love the Old Testament. The Old Testament is so rich. If you don't love the Old Testament, get to know it, okay? Because it is so rich. We've been doing a study throughout the book of Genesis, and now we're in the book of Exodus. We've just been going through. We only take about a chapter or two at a time because it's so rich. Every time we turn around, every other chapter that we get into, we see Jesus. He's all throughout the Old Testament, man. You start seeing him in almost everything. And you know, we see him, we see the Old Testament. We compare it to the New Testament, and it's like a blueprint that comes together and fits absolutely perfectly. In fact, it it is almost prophetic. And what I mean almost, it is. It's prophetic in talking about what the New Testament is when you begin to look at the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, a few weeks ago, we just got through the Ten Commandments, okay? And the Ten Commandments were exciting because we could do them one by one and, you know, what the commandments of God were, what they mean, how guilty we are of them, and how wonderful it is that we don't have to be judged by the Ten Commandments anymore because now we've been washed in the blood. Well, we thought after we got past that chapter, that's chapter 20, got into 21, 22, and 23, we thought, well, this is going to be kind of anticlimactic now because we just did with the Big Ten. This is going to be anticlimactic. And now we're going to get into the rules and it's going to be kind of boring. It hasn't gotten boring yet because now we see Jesus even more. As we were getting into chapter 23, we began to talk about the three major feasts of the Israelites and the three Jewish feasts. And they're absolutely amazing because they're a blueprint to the New Testament. An absolute blueprint of the New Testament. Well, because the first feast is in March, April, right around there. And in the Jewish calendar, in the Israelite calendar, that's like about the first of the year. So it's like the beginning, okay? In the beginning is the first. And it's called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You ever heard of the Feast of Unleavened Bread? That Feast of Unleavened Bread, we know it as called the Passover Feast. It's the Passover. And we've gone through the Passover. In fact, now we're on Easter Sunday. The Passover, of course, was all through last week up until the Sabbath, which ended Saturday at sunset. Thank you. I was just looking for the word sunset. I was going to say dusk or dawn or what. I forget what it was. Sunset. It ended at Saturday on sunset was the end of the Passover feast. And that's where we celebrate Easter. And of course, the Passover feast talks about the salvation that the Jews were taken, or the Israelites, not the Jews, the Israelites were taken out of Egypt and given and brought into their own land. And that Passover is that God passed over the Israelites because of the blood that was put on the doorpost. And of course, what do we know that as? It's the blood of the Lamb that was shed on the cross of crucifixion. He was crucified, and that's that blood. That's the Passover feast, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That was the first feast. The second feast was known as the Feast of Harvest. We've also come to know that feast as the Feast of Pentecost. You ever heard of the feast? You ever heard of Pentecost? What is that? Pentecost is the day that the Holy Spirit was given to man. And so that Feast of Harvest, what it was a harvest of souls that came in and the church was created on the Feast of Harvest. Now this was in the book of Exodus. And it's the feast that celebrates the first fruits. So it's around June, the beginning of June. That's about the time for the Feast of Harvest. That's when they celebrate Feast of Harvest. It's the first fruits of the harvest. And is known as the Feast of Pentecost. And on the day of Pentecost, the church was harvested because Jesus was the seed that was given on the Passover feast, on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He was the seed that was given. And because of the seed that was planted of Jesus Christ when he was planted into the grave after he was crucified, guess what? It brought a harvest that we come to know as the body of Christ and the church, which was born on the day of Pentecost, the Feast of Harvest. But you know what? That's not the only, the last feast, and the last feast in some ways is the one that we really need to be looking for, because the last feast, I don't believe, has yet happened yet. They celebrated, and it was called the Feast of Ingathering. Have you ever heard of that term? The Feast of Ingathering. That was the last feast of the year, of the Israelite year. That was the last feast that they had of the year. And so it happened around September and October. The last feast of the year, the Feast of Ingathering. And it celebrated the time when the Israelites were all gathered together and they would go out into what they called tabernacles. Everybody heard that term, tabernacles? The Feast of Ingathering is also known as the Feast of Tabernacles. They're the same thing. And it was, people would gather in tabernacles. What a tabernacle is, basically, is a tent. It's like a booth. In fact, it's also called the Feast of Booths. Booths. B-O-O-T-H-S. The Feast of Booths. And what people would be is they would be in booths and they would come out into the wilderness in their tents and they would all gather together. They'd all be together and in the very midst of them, the very presence of the Feast of Tabernacles, in the very presence of all these tabernacles was the main tabernacle that housed the very presence and the glory and the power and the anointing and the Spirit of God. And everyone would gather and they would begin to worship God. And they would sense and know the power of the King, the Father, God, Jehovah, Yahweh. And he would gather all of his people and they would be in his very presence. That is called the Feast of Tabernacles. In the scripture, in Revelations 21, starting with the first verse, it says this: Now I saw a new heaven and I saw a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now verse 3, and I want you to get this. Remember, what is it's called the Feast of Ingathering. It's also known as the Feast of Tabernacles, okay, where all these different tabernacles would be in the wilderness gathering together at the tabernacle where God resided. And it says this in verse 3, And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. In other words, the very tabernacle of the presence of God was fixed in the midst. And he gathered all of his people to himself. That's the Feast of Ingathering, bringing them to that last place before the end of the age. When the Holy Spirit was given to us on the day of Pentecost, God came and resided inside of us, and we became His tabernacle. And this tabernacle meets with these tabernacles, and we come up to worship God in His tabernacle. That's what's on the horizon. That is at the end of the year. At the very end, when we all come together, that we come into the very presence of God. I don't know if I mentioned this last Sunday night. I know I did in the morning, but I used to minister. Me and a friend of mine used to minister at the Rescue Mission. We ministered there for several years. Don't remember how many, a bunch. And we'd go every Saturday night, and we'd take turns preaching, and he'd preach, and then I'd preach, and the next week, and we'd just take turns, and we'd minister to men. And the men at the Rescue Mission, they're, you know, compared to people, they're decent people, okay? But they did not want to be in church. How many of you understand that? Remember the day when you didn't want to be in church? Don't lie. I know that there was a day when you didn't want to be in church, okay? Or maybe not all of you, but there was days I didn't want to be in church, I'll tell you that. And they didn't want to be in church, and there'd be about 70 or 80 of them in a room. But the thing is they had to come, because if they didn't come, they didn't get to eat. And if they didn't get to eat and they were disruptive, then they wouldn't be allowed to sleep there either. So they had to, you know, they had to be nice and they had to be respectful. And one of the men got up, and he was respectful, but he got up because, you know, he had to say something, because I'd been preaching for a little bit about God and worship and how wonderful it is to worship, because when you worship God, you come into his very presence. You end up tabernacling with God in worship. And he came up. He didn't come up. He just got up out of his chair and looked at me and said, "You know, what makes you think that I would want to worship God for eternity? Sounds awfully boring to me." You know, and I'm going to tell you something. I was a young preacher, and I wasn't exactly sure what to say. You know, I wasn't really prepared for a confrontation. And when he said that, I said, you know, I had to stop and think. Well, yeah, why would somebody want to be bored for eternity, you know, worshiping God? And then the Holy Spirit hit me, And I just felt, I don't know if he was speaking in my ear or not, but it just like hit me like a ton of bricks. And I looked at him and said, well, that's because you just don't understand God. You don't understand God. See, you think God is church. And not just the body of Christ church, but church service. You think God is church service. That's not God. See, you don't understand God. You think you understand him, but you think he's like church. And he's not church service. And then I ask him, have you ever touched a live wire? You ever stuck your finger in a light socket? Anybody in here ever stuck your finger in a light socket? You ever touched a live wire? Do it sometimes. It's exciting. Everyone ought to touch. Not 240 volt, 120. Okay, keep it to 120. You ever got shocked by a live circuit? I have, because I used to work, I did construction for about 6 months with my cousin, helping him out. And I mean, they laughed at me because I touched a live wire. I go, whoa, you know. Is it boring? Is there anything boring about being electrocuted? You ever been shocked? Anything boring about being electrocuted? No, there's nothing boring about it. It's the most, I mean, it's not fun, but it's not boring either. And the thing is I looked at him and says, have you ever done that? Have you ever touched an electric outlet or electric shock? You ever been shocked? Is it boring? Well, let me ask you this. Do you think it would be boring if you were to touch the very hem of the garment who created electricity, who put the stars into the heavens, who rotated the planets on their axis, who put the moon to rotate around our planet, who put all the galaxies and the stars? Would it be boring to touch that live wire for 1 second? Let me tell you something. When you get to heaven, you're not going to be wanting to do anything else but worship the King, to be in his presence, because in his presence is healing. In his presence is joy. In his presence is love. Everything God has is in his presence. That's why we need to, as often as we can, come into the very presence of God and let him minister life to us. Because if you're sad, you need to come into the presence of Jesus. There's nothing like being sad over the loss of a dog or the loss of a loved one or whatever it is you're sad about. There's nothing like worshiping God that turns things around. And the sadness begins to melt away. See, he wants to tabernacle with us, that we would come into his very presence. He goes on and he says it like this. I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear. Have you cried over anything before? There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There will be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. His presence makes all things new. He said, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And then I'm going to come back and I'm going to get you. So that where I'm at, there you're going to be at too. And you're going to always be with me. Oh, I don't know about you, but that just gives me goosebumps. I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of things in this life I love. Most of all, I love my wife. She's not perfect. But we have that in common. Because I'm not perfect either. But I love her very much. I love my kids. They're halfway around the world, most half of them. And my other son is going to go over there too in Australia. But I love them dearly. Love them very much. I love my grandson. But there's nothing in this world worth having other than those relationships if you don't have Jesus. It really is nothing. I've had new cars and I've had old junkers. I've lived in nice places, and I've lived in places where I didn't want to get in under the sheets. I've looked, you know, I'm getting to that age where I find I'm philosophizing a lot more than I used to. Because when you get older, you start philosophizing a little bit more. Because you begin to realize that the things that you were seeking when you were younger is nothing but what Solomon said that it was. And that is, it's all vanity. Because there's nothing worth having if you don't have Christ. But if you've got Christ, if you've got His very presence, there's nothing else you need. And He says, I promise this to you. This is a gift to you. This is a benefit for you. And it was provided the very moment that the stone was rolled away and Jesus came out of the grave. And the same power, you know, this is, if this doesn't give you goosebumps, then I don't know, you know, then we need to jumpstart your heart. The very power that lifted Him up out of the grave was brought back through the power of the Holy Spirit and came in to live inside of every single one of us. And yet we walk in defeat. And we've got the power of the resurrection that lives inside of us. Is there anything better than that? Is there anything better than that? I love Jesus. I love God. But there's nothing better than that. For those that are young and you've got your life way ahead of you, you got a whole lot of living to do. Well, let's hope so. Jesus may come back tomorrow. He may. The Feast of Tabernacles might just happen tomorrow. The Feast of Tabernacles may not be here for another 50 years. And I'm talking about the prophetic Feast of Tabernacles, where at the end of the year we go and we go into the very presence of God, all gathering together in one place, worshiping the King. But regardless, I mean, that doesn't mean you can't live life. That doesn't mean you can't. Let me tell you something. You know, you see a car you like, go ahead and buy it. If you got the money to do it, there's nothing wrong with it. But know this, that cars end up in the junkyard. No matter how much people work on them and try to fix them, Mike, I know that you're a major master doctor of cars, but you know and I know that you can take care of them wonderfully, wonderfully, but someday they're going to end up in the junkyard. What God wants to give us never ends. And He wants to have to live. See, this is one of the things that I wonder if the angels wonder about us. Do the angels wonder about us? I wonder why in the world they look to God and say, why are you spending time with these people? I wonder if they think that. You want to know what I think? I think God, that angels look at us and say, what kind of creature is this that God would want to live inside of it? What kind of creature is this that the very King of the universe, who put the planets, the stars, I mean, I can go on and on and on. What kind of creature is it that God wants to live inside of Him? I mean, I know Chris Hayden. I know me. I don't know if I want to live inside of me some days. What kind of God, that gives me the question, what kind of God is it that would want to live inside of me, that would want me to be in His presence? There was one day when I felt kind of lonely. All my friends were going off doing things. I couldn't go because I had to stay home with my sister. A friend of mine knocked on the door. And I opened the door and said, what are you doing here? Why aren't you off with all the others? And they went swimming or something. They went doing something fun. I said, what are you doing here? He said, well, I came back. I said, well, why didn't you go off with all the rest of them? He said, this is a guy I looked up to. He said, well, because I want to hang out with you. And I stopped there for a second. You want to hang out with me? You don't want to go off to the pits or wherever that they're going and swim and do all that fun. You want to hang out with me? I'm sitting here watching my sister. Say, yeah, I want to hang out with you. Let me just tell you something. Jesus wants to hang out with you. Gosh, it doesn't get any better than that. Just doesn't get any better than that. Jesus wants to hang out with you. He wants to tabernacle with you. And he's calling a day when the Feast of Tabernacles will be a reality in history. And we'll be together with him. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. We're going to close in just a moment. I just want to thank everyone for coming out on it.